Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on the fan. We are live at Williams Chicken in Arlington on Cooper, just north of 20. And they have some State Fair Classic tickets. If you want to go, just come on by, get something delicious to eat and drink, and ask Eric for the tickets. 100-year anniversary of this game this year at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
So a historic game, one you're always going to want to be
at.
Let's go. And thanks to Williams Chicken for hosting us. Okay, salute to the Tolo family that just swung by here. I had to jump into the restroom. Otherwise, I was going to have a five-alarm fire going on my bladder here this segment. Oh. But when I came back out, they were gone. So I'm sorry I missed you.
They got smart. They knew better.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah, I hope they come back in. Because I know one of the daughters wanted to meet you, Gavin.
Here's Woolchuck with his daily football fix.
All right, let's get to some of the headlines here in the world of the National Football League. Now, we've given credit to Dak Prescott through the first 2 weeks. And, fellas, my gosh, last night couldn't sleep. A lot of that's because I'm snoring, and my pregnant wife wakes me up and says, get the hell out of the room. So now I'm up, and so I went back and was watching more of that Cowboys-Giants game. It was on NFL Network. And the way Dak's doing two things now that I think we've been frustrated with at times during his career. One, the pocket presence is at an all-time high for him right now. His ability to feel the rush, slide, step up, navigate the pocket.
Yeah.
But also, what's one thing that we've always had frustration with?
Eyes down.
Throwing with anticipation,
mm-hmm.
but also hitting receivers in stride.
Yeah.
He did that beautifully against the Giants. Pinpoint throw to be able to hit CeeDee Lamb, doesn't have to break stride, down the field. And the Ferguson throws, and I'm excited to ask him about that. And we know the seam route, like he's loved that his entire career. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really working week one against Philadelphia.
No, it really wasn't.
He was either a little underthrown, he overthrew it once. But against the Giants, I mean, Fergie, he's not even breaking out of his route. Dak's delivering the ball. He turns around, boom, ball's on him. It's been beautiful to watch. Now, Dak Prescott has a noted hater, a lot. But the Cowboys.
Eric Chiafalo?
No. And Eric's even given Dak credit the first two games of the season.
Lucy's dropped the knowledge ball on Dak. I am very fair on Dak.
Yeah, like when Dak's playing well,
sure
he deserves to
are.
Get praise. And there'll be. And I saw yesterday when we were talking Dak up, texts are coming in. He's a choke artist. You guys know this doesn't matter. All of that, hey,
Eric.
We can have a different conversation when we get to the playoffs. But through two games,
that.
As much crap as we want to give Dak, we can prop him up and give him a little bit of love when he's playing well.
He needs to work on removing that underbite Kobe face that he does when he's getting whooped.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe went to that weird underbite look when he was going into, like, a Doberman Black Mamba mode.
Uh-huh.
When Dak's beat, you can see it in his mouth.
You absolutely.
Made
and they cut to it every time.
Eagles.
And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, crap. Here it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And we are in for a long day.
He knows it's checkmate.
But noted Cowboys hater Screamin' A. Smith on First Take. Man,
wow.
He actually gets checked by a New Yorker. Mad Dog putting Screaming A in
Tear
his place.
Ass up.
Dad doing that, that makes you feel like.
Be fair, Stevie.
I am fair.
You don't treat Lamar the same way you treat Dak.
Because Dak ain't Lamar.
Well, Lamar hasn't played well in the playoffs.
Well,
2-5 all the time.
He's won more playoff games than Dak.
But he hasn't played the MVP level in the postseason.
Okay, but
he hasn't in a regular season.
But he hasn't been like Fright Night. Panicky and all of that
bad.
Stuff either.
But he hasn't.
You know what I'm saying? Beneath the pressure,
been,
that is a fact.
But he hasn't been great in the postseason.
I agree with that.
Be fair. Be
I
fair.
Agree with that.
Be fair.
But it's one thing not to be great.
Just,
it's another thing to be sorry.
You just can't do it, huh?
Yeah.
What? You just can't do it.
It's hard.
You
can't do it.
There is nothing that you can say positive about that man without you bringing up what he did in the playoffs.
But that's true. Without me bringing
it up. You can't bring it up. You can't do it.
That he's a damn good quarterback. And my God, if the regular season was where it stopped, he is MVP caliber. I can say that about Dak Prescott. But unfortunately for him, we get to bring up the postseason, which is when it really counts. And last time I checked, it could be three or four, depending on whether you're a wild card team or not, that you have to win in one playoff season to win a Super Bowl. This brother got two in 9 years. I mean, come on, y'all.
No, it's screaming, hey, keep my quarterback's name out your damn mouth. I don't even know what you're a fan of. Is it the Giants? Is it the Steelers? They got enough issues there at quarterback to keep you busy. All right, so stop talking about my guy. Leave us to talk about him. We sure will come January. You don't have to worry about that. I don't need it. And I enjoyed Mad Dog just kind of putting him back into perspective. Like, let's just keep this thing 100, man. Let's keep this thing fair. Keep that energy for all the quarterbacks, not just Dak.
So you've compared Jacob DeGrom to Dak and now Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, to Dak.
That was their show. That was not me.
Okay.
That's right.
But in the postseason, yeah, both have struggled. Both have played poorly.
I kind of feel like we gave up.
And Dak was a runner-up for MVP, Gavin. Come on.
Yeah, never forget that.
Let's not forget that.
I kind of felt like we gave up on him in the postseason there, Wooly Bully, on a postgame show.
Yep, it is. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to be picking him to win a playoff game. But through two games, he's playing damn good football.
He is.
Here's Ben Johnson, head coach of the Bears, talking about Dak.
Dan doing that makes you feel like he's playing the best football just about anybody.
Man, when I see a quarterback utilize cadence the way that he does, and I know that's a little thing, but it's reflective of he's got total control of the field. He's looking to manipulate the defense. He's looking to control them. Hopefully we'll have a loud crowd here on Sunday that combats his ability to use that cadence to our disadvantage. But when I see that on tape, I know, like, this is a guy that's seeing the field really well right now. And he's trying to move defenders around. And I think that's when you have an experienced player like that, that's a dangerous thing.
I don't think he's going to get that crowd advantage. I mean, we had that nugget, 2 days ago? It's skewing like 53-47. There's a lot of Cowboy fans that are going to be in attendance there at Soldier Field. I don't know if he's going to get that type of home crowd to be able to disrupt the glorious cadence that Dak Prescott's working with right now per Ben Johnson.
I think at some point in a playoff game, if you want to look at Lamar Jackson, you're going to have to be able to go on a 2 or 4 minute drive, and your running game is often so negated that, like, what happened in the regular game flow almost doesn't matter. And I think that could be a possible explanation for why Lamar Jackson doesn't win. And maybe they have the best roster in all of football this year, but I wouldn't have a tremendous amount of confidence. But you can't argue with what he did. I mean, the stats that he's putting up in these playoff games, if there's a reason the Ravens lost, he would be so far down the list.
Yeah, he wasn't the reason they lost to the Bills. I mean, Mark Andrews dropped that 2-point conversion. I can't put that one on Lamar Jackson. He played well enough to win that game. And who knows what happens if they're able to get into overtime. Now, Ben Johnson continued. The big storyline this week, we've talked about it with Stink, the Tom Brady stuff, the meetings. Is this an advantage? He's wearing the headset there with the Raiders. I don't know. I'd have to look at the Bears' schedule, Eric, maybe if you're down to do that, if they play the Raiders. But Brady is going to be on the call for Fox, Cowboys and Bears. Ben Johnson, are you worried at all about this Tom Brady stuff?
Like I said, I'm really not worried about it. I mean, we change week to week in terms of what we do. Schematically, he's going to be able to turn on the tape and see what everyone else in the world's seeing right now. Personnel-wise, really the same thing. It's not like I'm going to sit down with him and tell him, hey, don't do this to Caleb Williams or you might get it. Like, I'm not going to – there's not going to be any trade secrets that are going to be exchanged. But I really don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Raiders and Bears next week.
Okay. Interesting. Maybe it'll bite him in the rear.
Well, it's amazing how many of these coaches are shooting it down.
They're all
Shoddy did the same
Stink
thing.
Stink shot it down when he was on.
I think they're all bluffing you. I think they're bluffing you.
Are they trying to? Well, they also.
I think it's really, really hard for a coach not to feel like to open himself up to Tom Brady.
Yeah, you start talking that football.
I mean, all of a sudden you're sitting in a room with Tom Brady. You might not. Ben Johnson might not have ever met Tom Brady in his life. You know, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm sitting down here having dialogue with Tom Brady about football. You know, I think these coaches are playing it down like they wouldn't say anything.
They're putting the goat on the pedestal.
In real life, they're telling him, these guys, these coaches love to talk about, you know, hey, look for this, look for that. You know, this is something we kind of think about, you know. I think these coaches are probably they would welcome the opportunity to pick Tom Brady's brain and see what Tom Brady is seeing with their team. You know, hey Tom, when you watch us, what do you see? You know, what are you looking at right here? And get and kind of get an idea. That's one of the greatest to ever play. You know, they're not shutting Tom Brady down. They're not treating him like he's like Brian Broaddus walking in there and asking, you know, in a radio game.
Okay, so you say like Tony Romo's in the same gig from a broadcast standpoint.
Yeah.
Tony Romo had a minority ownership stake in another team. You don't think they treat Romo the same way they treat Brady?
Oh, I think Brady's different than any other player that's broadcasting.
Right.
I think there's the fact that Tom Brady might be the greatest player ever to play in the National Football League might be that I think that these coaches, when they get an opportunity to talk with him, I think they open up like they're like, what do you
they
need?
They probably want to convince him that they really got it going on.
They want to convince him that like that like, oh, this guy's got it together football wise.
Hey, but he's a smart retirement guy. You can play for us.
Yeah. There are also some older coaches that probably hate how the Patriots cheated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I would think that while I want to have a good thing going with Tom Brady, I'm also going to make sure I'm not giving anything away. You know, it's not like anybody's holding a gun to their head,
no,
making them give away state
and
secrets.
You know, Ben Johnson, I think, is saying the right thing. But if you had an opportunity, okay, Dawson, you're a poker player, right?
Uh-huh.
Give me the one poker player that you would love to meet that you would just completely open up about everything. I mean, if he asked you questions, you could not spill your guts about stuff.
Probably Phil Hellmuth, my guy.
See, that's what I'm saying. To me, I mean, you have somebody in your life that if Phil Hellmuth asked you a bunch of questions,
yeah,
that you would probably, oh, God, Phil, yeah.
But I also don't think they're starstruck like I would be, you know, because they've been in that league. If I was in the World Series
Ben Johnson, what, several years ago was a North Carolina guy, right? Ben Johnson has really kind of burst on the scene here with the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm. And as Josina Anderson told us, he's not an alpha. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised. But, I mean, they're also worried about, like, you know, their practices being observed. You know what I mean? Like that's a part of the coaching culture
as
well.
They don't want us watching practice. Tom Brady out there, I've seen it so many times with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck and those guys standing on a field. I saw it with Summerall and Madden. Mm-hmm. They'd stand out there and coaches go up to them and yeah, John Madden's the same way. Like, anything John Madden asked for, John Madden would get. Like, he got the best insight for everybody. I think coaches are saying the right thing,
yeah.
But in reality, they're trying to deflect it, but in reality, they're telling Tom Brady anything he wants to know. That's just my.
Well, they do know that the NFL wants this to be okay, so they might be doing the company line thing. They're like, "Oh no, it's fine."
Yeah, you're putting on the company face. That very well could be the case. And behind closed doors, it's like, "Ooh, this could be an it." Because
now the question is Tom Brady talking to his coaches?
Is he telling?
He's too competitive not to.
Yeah,
come
like
on.
He's not going to go back to Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll and say,
"This is Deflategate. This is Spygate."
Yeah, I just did the Bears game last week. You're playing the Bears this week. What'd you gain?
Did you catch anything?
We
need to do a study. I'll be interested to see games that Brady does, and then the next week, who, you know.
How the Raiders perform against
teams. Yeah, how did the Raiders play against the Bears when they play?
Yeah, that'll be fascinating. Yeah. Absolutely fascinating.
But to act like the film is the only thing a coach needs to get a beat on you, I mean, the film shows some stuff, but there's a reason coaches get together in the off season. You know, and talk about things and how, you know, the details and the specifics are, because the film's not going to capture everything of the emphasis and everybody's jobs and all that. Well, thank you, Wolchuk. Football Fix is in the books. We're talking Cowboys-Bears with Chris Emma from 670 The Score. He covers the Bears there in Chicago. We're at on Cooper, just north of 20, at Williams Chicken, where you can get your State Fair Classic tickets. Come by, get an amazing meal. And get some giveaways. Love to see you. And we're coming back with Chris here. It's the G-Bag Nation on
365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
105.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And we're live at Williams Chicken, just north of 20 on Cooper. Come get your State Fair Classic tickets, Grambling and Prairie View. The 100th edition of that game is coming up here. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. CA's going to be here. Chris Arnold's going to be here before too long. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We'll have another chance to win our Ultimate Cowboys fan hang brought to you by Whataburger here in probably before the end of the hour. Just to eyeball that for you. Chris Emma, 670 The Score. He covers the Bears, and he joins you now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
We're doing good. You know, wondering, you know, what Chicago's going to bring to the party here. What kind of a path to victory does Chicago have? What do you think their chances are Sunday afternoon?
Gosh, I mean, yeah, at this point, I think it's got to be a track meet. Like, this Bears defense is depleted. They are really struggling right now. They're missing some key players, obviously, with Jalen Johnson, Tyler Gordon, TJ Edwards, Grady Jarrett, all on the injury report, and they just don't have the depth to play next man up. So, look, this Cowboys team is going to score. They're going to put up points. I bet Dak Prescott is licking his chops to get up to Soldier Field on Sunday and play that game against this secondary. So, the Bears' only hope is to keep pace, is to try to match the Cowboys' offense. I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I do think the Cowboys win.
Now, you mentioned Grady Jarrett there. Saw he was limited today. What's going on with him?
Step forward. Progress for him. He's been hampered on the injury report with a leg injury. Look, he played on Sunday after being limited throughout the week, and he just did not look quick off the ball. He looks like he's struggling with this. That's a veteran. That's a proud guy who wants to be out there and be an impact player, but it was clear that he's just not quite himself at this point. And this defensive front has just not gotten pressure consistently with or without him. So the Bears have major problems defensively right now. That's only a blip on the radar.
Are there any players on the Bears' defense to be concerned with at this point?
Gosh, that's a great question. Montez Sweat, like, look, this guy has been a Pro Bowl player. He's been one of the better pass rushers in the NFL in the past, but he was not that guy last year. He, too, was dealing with injuries. He had four or five different ailments to put him on the injury report. Without a sack so far through two games this season, the Bears hoped that would change by adding Dio Dingbo on a big contract this offseason. Sweat has not looked like the guy he's paid to be at $98.5 million, and that's been incredibly frustrating for a defense that needs guys to step up. So I'll say 98 in blue is somebody you got to watch for on Sunday, but we in Chicago have been looking to see it as well.
What's going on with Tremaine Edmonds here, Chris? I mean, that was one of their prize free agent acquisitions. He was thought of as one of the best linebackers in football. Is he not what he once was?
I'll take you back to 2022, the first year then for Matt Eberflus, when the Bears came to Dallas and got stomped by the Cowboys. And that was the game that opened up the Bears' eyes to this is a long-term rebuild. They traded Roquan Smith the next morning and really marked the beginning of the end for that tenure and turning the page to this rebuild. They signed Tremaine Edmonds a few months later on a lesser deal than the $100 million Roquan wanted. They got him for $72 million and hoped that he could fill the void, if not entirely what Roquan Smith brings to the table, then something short of it to some positive degree. And Tremaine Edmonds has been a good player. He's been a good leader, but he's not been worth the investment that the Bears made, and he certainly has not been anywhere near the level of Roquan Smith. That's been a miss on the record of Ryan Poles, the general manager, and there are many misses on that record right now. And that's being exposed as Ben Johnson takes the helm and tries to turn this thing around. The fact that this roster is still missing blue-chip talent and the difference makers that win you football games consistently, that's why the Bears are sitting here at 0-2.
Chris Emma with us here, 670 The Score in Chicago as we get ready for Cowboys-Bears on Sunday. Chris, what's up with this offensive line, specifically their tackles? I was a big fan of Darnell Wright when they drafted him out of Tennessee. Has he just not quite developed? And Braxton Jones seems like he's been an issue on the left side from our scouting report from our local expert, Brian Broaddus.
Yeah, look, Darnell Wright has gotten steadily better in his two, now going on 3 years with the Bears. He's been encouraging. I think he certainly is a starter in this league, but he's not been the number 10 overall pick yet. Consider that they were sitting there number 9 overall a couple years ago with Jalen Carter on the board. They clearly did not want him. They traded out of that pick to Dallas or to Philadelphia, let the Eagles take him, took a fourth-round pick as part of that return. That's how much they did not want Jalen Carter. When you pass on a guy like that, you better be getting the right guy at number 10 overall. And Wright has just not popped the way that you want to look as a franchise tackle. That's been frustrating, but he still is not the weakest link on this line. I mean, that is Braxton Jones, their starting left tackle. They opened up a competition this offseason because Braxton Jones simply hasn't proven himself as a long-term viable starter, and nobody really won that battle as much as just Braxton Jones assumed the role again. The second-round pick, Ozzie Trapillo, who they hoped would ascend and take that spot, he was inactive last Sunday in Detroit. That's an indictment on the player development side. He should not be inactive. He should have a jersey for game day. They had a guy in Theo Benedict who was an undrafted free agent, kind of became the challenger for Braxton Jones, and he still just wasn't good enough to take on that role. Karan Namagaji, a third-round pick a year ago, has played only a couple games and just not really earned his place to be out there. He does not look certainly like a third-round pick or even an NFL-caliber player yet. So it's been frustrating the way that they missed at the left tackle position, and I think they'll reevaluate that at some point this season, if not sooner. I think that Braxton Jones' spot is up for grabs, and somebody wants to take it, they can go get it.
Hey, Chris, what is up with the Bears, though, the rushing game with them with Swift? And Zach mentioned watching your tape and stuff like that. It seems like there's opportunities for him. He's not getting contacted at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. Just they don't have many successful players running the football with him.
Yeah, he's been better so far this year. I think he's being coached better by Eric Bieniemy, who they brought in as their first year running his backs coach. And Bieniemy's a guy who he doesn't BS. He just shoots straight to the point. And he's been on Swift about stop dancing. Get the ball and go. Stop hesitating. Find your whole attack and go. And be that explosive runner. But that's just not really who DeAndre Swift is. I mean, he's kind of proven himself as more of a complimentary back and a good one, a very good one. But think about a year and a half ago when the Bears were there in the open market. Saquon Barkley was out there. Derrick Henry was out there. Josh Jacobs was out there. They were the first team to grab a running back, and they took DeAndre Swift on a 3-year, $24 million deal. Sure. They want that one back. Saquon Barkley would look wonderful in a Bears blue uniform. Any of those guys would be a major upgrade. It's not worked out the way that they wanted with Swift. And the more frustrating part is they don't have any viable options. There's nothing in the backfield right now that they can count on. The only other players to carry the football in meaningful time are DJ Moore, the wide receiver. Sure. Tom Adungai, a seventh-round pick, got garbage time carries on Sunday in Detroit. That's the only time he's touched the football. Roshon Johnson, the former Texas Longhorn, has not carried yet this season. They're just trying to establish something on the running back depth chart.
We got to Chris Emma, 670 The Score here, talking Bears with you in the G-Bag Nation, live from Williams Chicken in Arlington, 20 and Cooper. How concerned would you be with Matt Eberflus if you were covering the Cowboys? Where could it go wrong? Where would it go wrong?
I think he's in a better place. I think he is in a much more comfortable spot as the defensive coordinator. I'll be frank with you, like, he just was not cut out to be a head coach. And the city and the franchise and the circumstances surrounding it kind of ate him up, and it just did not go well. He spent so much of his tenure trying to preach positivity, trying to encourage his players, not just to the media, but directly to them, saying, we're getting better. We're getting there. Keep believing. Keep united. And when you suffer frustrating losses like they did last year where they felt they were close and you come up short and coaching isn't part of it, you lose that messaging. Nobody believes in the idea of we're just right there. that's when it turned. And that lost Thanksgiving in Detroit last year when he tried to preach the idea of we're close, stay together. And it was a mutiny in that locker room. And they turned on him to the point where there was no coming back from it. I think he's much more comfortable being that right-hand man to Brian Schottenheimer, to the staff there in Dallas. And he can call plays. He knows defense. And I know there's been some struggles defensively there for the Cowboys, trying to get that thing completely turned around and build an identity now post Micah Parsons. Eberflus is the guy to do it. And he needs the personnel. He needs this thing to be catered more to his identity, which a guy like a Kenny Clark certainly helps that. He wants that anchor, that three technique to drive this defensive identity. So I think he's in a much better place. I'm happy for him. I hope it works out for him leading a strong, prominent defense there for the Cowboys. He's a really good man. He struggled in this job. I think people in Chicago have certainly respect for him, but also understood that he was just never meant to be a head coach.
Are you expecting a lot of Cowboy fans in attendance there at Soldier Field?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there's always a good road crowd here in Chicago. Yeah, it's a destination city. Obviously, it's a place people want to go to see football games. And Cowboys fans will travel everywhere. We know that. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement. I think it's going to be a really good, entertaining football game. It's two teams that certainly need a win here. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere on Sunday.
Hey, Chris, what's up with DJ Moore? It seems like, though, that he seems to be kind of a little bit of a forgotten man for the Bears right now offensively.
Yeah, look, there's, I think, been internally some frustration. We heard Ben Johnson on Monday talk about we need guys to play their hardest when they don't have the ball in their hands as opposed to just only when they do. And you don't have to look too deep into the film to know DJ Moore is part of that. Whether it's directly a shot at him or not, you know DJ Moore doesn't always play the hardest when the ball is not in his hands. That's frustrating for Ben Johnson, and that's what could ultimately cast him out in Chicago if he consistently does not show that kind of effort blocking, sealing the edge, doing what you need to do, hustling downfield. Like, it's just the details are not consistently there for DJ Moore, and he's a really productive, talented wide receiver, but he's not proven himself as the complete package. He's the guy who wore a C on his chest last year as a captain, and he was miscast in that. He just doesn't have the personality, that natural leadership to elevate those around him. And I think internally there's been some clear frustration for what DJ Moore has and hasn't been for this team. So he's going to put up his catches. He's going to be a key player in this offense when he does get the ball in his hands. But that's going to happen less if he doesn't do more when the ball is not in his hands.
Chris, where do things stand with Caleb Williams right now, and how much of that Ty Dunn report is true or fair?
Yeah, it was interesting, and you know, this goes back to the Eberflus run, right? This was his former staff, but clearly, yeah, we know who's talking in this. A lot of it's true. Like, a lot of this is stuff that we've all heard privately, things of that nature. But I think the common theme of that was, look, he's really talented and can overcome this. And if you're really reading this closely, you kind of understand that a quality coaching staff could take him over the top. And he's gotten better. They really made him drink through a fire hose with Ben Johnson leading this charge to develop Caleb Williams. And game one to game two was better. Game one was really sloppy for Caleb Williams. He looked more comfortable, more decisive, showed the right fundamentals and footwork in game two. I talked with Declan Doyle, their offensive coordinator, today. He's like, look, it's getting steadily better week in and week out. And I take him at his word for that. I see the same thing. I think he still can be a franchise quarterback, but this isn't the immediate returns you'd like of a number one overall pick, certainly, and this is a work in progress for the Bears. So, look, if this season continues to get lost, they're sitting here at 0-2 right now. They got a really good team coming in, and this season could really see snowballing losses here fast. But if you look in here deep down the road and they're out of the playoff picture, this season suddenly becomes all about Caleb Williams and whether he can become that franchise quarterback or not, and the spotlight will shine brighter on him this year.
Chris Emma, 670 The Score. Thank you for your insights on the Bears. Have fun covering the game this weekend.
Take care.
There he goes. Chris Emma, thank you so much. We're live at Williams Chicken in Arlington, 20 and Cooper, just north of 20. Chris Arnold has arrived. CA's in the house. He'll be the stadium host for the State Fair Classic. You can get tickets for Grambling and Prairie View right now. Just come on by Williams Chicken, and they got you covered. All right. How about some Cowboys-Bears trivia? Who knows the most about this historic pro football matchup? We got the giveaway coming up as well. The Ultimate Fan Hang, watching the Cowboys, brought to you by Whataburger. Stay tuned for that. And we're back here to the G-Bag.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the Fan. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're now under an hour away from Lucius's return to L.A. Live. As it's good to have him back in the Pimp Cup. We're broadcasting live from Williams Chicken here in Arlington, just north of 20 on Cooper. Would love to have you come by. Got State Fair Classic ticket giveaways. And Chris Arnold's here hanging out with the Tolos.
How about that?
Lots of Tolos here throughout the afternoon. So thanks to everybody in what I lovingly call the municipality of Arlington.
That's right.
And they've always shown us such tremendous love.
I'll tell you what, Lucius is right about the pepper on the chicken.
Right? Yeah.
Lucius, that's a game changer.
Put that pepper juice on that fried chicken.
That is a game changer.
And do not throw that pepper away after you put that juice on there. You got to bite you some of that pepper as you have the chicken in your mouth. Pause.
Wow. That is good.
It's CA's about to go for it. Oh, he's smothering. CA's about to smother.
Let's get that on the fan cam right there. CA going to work.
Put that juice on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
man. Funny that comes up because Chris was the guy who taught me about jalapenos on a pepperoni pizza in Oxnard. Way back in the day there at that BJ's Pizzeria.
That's the way.
Jalapenos on your pepperoni pizza. Yeah. Gives it the perfect amount of kick.
Finger looking good right there, CA. Nice
it really
work.
Is.
You know, maybe we should get CA in on this. We got a little Cowboys trivia. There's a headset over there. I don't know. Is it potted up?
Here we go. Well, I don't know. Let's see. Let's try this.
Here comes Ruby. Okay. Ruby's coming out of the men's room.
Ruby's on the way from the men's
room.
Just
don't shake hands with Ruby right now. He's coming out of the men's room.
Portia, we're going to put this headset on
CA going?
If that's okay, as we have 20 questions to test your Cowboys and Bears knowledge. I will be your host. It's a four-way competition. First man with the right answer.
How about old men
wins.
Versus young men?
And,
old men versus young men?
How you doing, Chris?
Is this similar to the popular local game show?
It is. It's popular local game show 2.0. And pretty cool. You're, how long have you been hosting this State Fair Classic?
Oh, my goodness. Goes all the way, way, way back. In fact, when Eddie Robinson broke Bear Bryant's record of coaching victories, it was at the Cotton Bowl. I was covering it for K104 and Channel 8. And then I've done some PA for the game off and on all these years, man, since the 80s.
I'll tell you what, one of the greatest things, Chris, as I went to Grambling scouting, I got to meet Coach Robinson.
Mm-hmm,
Doug Williams was the head coach, but Coach Robinson was at practice.
Yeah.
And I walked up, and he was as nice as can be.
Yeah,
to
he's
me,
a
man.
Great
amazing
guy.
Man.
And when he passed away, he had a big funeral. Yeah. At Grambling, and I went with Al Wash, who's like the director of this State Fair Classic, and not a dry eye in the house.
No
place
question.
Was packed. It was in the big gym, and it was just awesome. But again, this is a legendary matchup: Prairie View versus Grambling State. And everybody talks about the halftime, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
But every now and then, the game's good.
Yeah, five overtimes last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the centennial, the 100th, you can get some tickets if you join us here at Williams Chicken, again, 20 and Cooper.
One other note, they have remodeled the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah,
it looks really, really nice inside. I mean, it already holds like 90,000, but goodness. When you go out there, State Fair is going to be awesome. But if you get a chance, walk around that Cotton Bowl because they've refurbished it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's do this. We got 20 questions. Let's see how many we can get through here. The Cowboys' first game played outside the U.S., a 1986 preseason
got you down.
In London.
Got you down.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
CA, Brian. Well,
you guys are on the same team, so it's okay. We're on the same team.
London, Chris, right?
London, I was at that game. Yeah. Cowboys versus the Bears.
It's Olds versus Youngs here. CA and Brian teaming up against
the nosebleeds.
Don't worry, Eric.
I'll try.
As long as you have 1986 questions, Chris and I are okay.
Yeah, exactly. We might be bleeped.
Okay, let's do buzzer format while we're cruising along. Just go ahead and shout out whatever you need to get in. The longtime head coach of the Bears won a Super Bowl with the Cowboys before becoming
Ditka.
Had a baby boy.
True or false, Ring of Honor member Don Meredith, the first face of the franchise who spent his entire NFL career with the Cowboys, was drafted by the Bears.
True.
Oh, got you down.
True.
Brought us. That's 2-1 Olds here.
I'm sorry. I meant to say ding.
You say whatever you want. I just started to do something quick.
Okay.
I like CA's got you down. He's used to this from the old Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. After two seasons playing with Chicago, Chuck Howley stepped away from the game due to a knee injury. Where was he working when the Cowboys talked him out of retirement?
Ding.
Brian?
Was it his own uniform supply place?
Well, I got some troubling news for you here. Okay, here it is. linebacker Chuck Howley thought his career was over and was running a gas station.
I thought maybe his uniform supply place. Mm-hmm.
Played at a University of West Virginia alumni game. Oh. Decided to give pro football another shot. Former Bears teammate convinced Cowboys director of player personnel Gil Brandt to give Howley a call. The rest is history.
That's crazy.
Was eventually named All-Pro and Pro Football Hall of Fame, Cowboys Ring of Honor.
That's really cool.
I mean, he was in the top five of that top 100 list that Brad Shanley put together.
Working at a gas station. That is wild.
But we learned something about...
I know, I was listening.
Were you listening?
Yeah, I was just trying to tease Brad a little bit there. Messed up the list, dude. What were you thinking? Who had more 1,000-yard rushing seasons in his career? Emmitt Smith or Walter Payton?
Catch you down.
Who was that? Who dinks first?
I'm going to let the Wooly go.
For Wooly.
Emmitt had 11, and I think Walter had 10.
He nailed it. Look at that. The Wooly Bully. Nobody beats Zach Wolchuk when it comes to Emmitt Smith.
Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
True or false, the coldest regular season game in Cowboys history was played.
It was at Soldier Field.
In Chicago.
I was there.
Oh, was that the one you touched on, Love the Star?
My face was slush.
Ooh. What year was that, General? Does it say?
The temperature was 8 degrees.
Yeah.
The game was played on Monday night, meaning by the time the final whistle blew, the thermometer read near zero. Oh. Dallas lost the game.
Yep.
45-28.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say what year it was.
Yeah.
I was working for Dallas.
Looks like Orlando Scandrick's on the bench, though.
I think a McCown beat us that night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Sometime in the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
Okay. I think we're tied at 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Number 7, fullback Walt Garrison tied his career high with 2 rushing touchdowns in the Cowboys' 34-3 blowout win at Chicago November 24th, 1968. What other sport did he compete in?
Oh, ding, bing.
Wolchuk.
Rodeo.
God.
He nailed it.
Specifically?
Specifically, I don't know. I just know he was a rodeo
for bonus point, he was a bulldogger.
Yeah.
I love the story of Landry asking him one Sunday, why were you in Mesquite last night at the rodeo? He was like, well, I was competing.
Yeah.
Actually,
his signing bonus was a trailer, a horse trailer.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
He played with a dip in his lip half the time.
That is cool.
Him and Larry Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
We go to December 4th, 2014 at Chicago. This player totaled 41 attempts combined rushing.
This is DeMarco Murray.
And receiving. The second most in Cowboys history.
2014, that's a DeMarco year.
Beautiful. Yeah. Look at you.
You're carrying your partner.
Just
Eric ain't saying nothing.
Putting the team on his back.
Wolchuk's Cowboys passion. Cowboys' Tony Dorsett, he ranks 10th all-time in rushing yards, and Chicago's Walter Payton, who is second, faced off 6 times in their careers. Whose team won more games? I don't get this question. I just read it.
Who's won the most games between Dorsett and Walter Payton?
Oh, who won the most games between Dorsett?
Ding.
Yeah, you guys.
It was the Cowboys, right?
It was the Cowboys?
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Cowboys.
I'm going to have to click forward here on the key.
they got
like a little photo gallery. And now they're making me wait for an ad.
Oh, no.
I bet it's the Cowboys. If it's the Bears, because the Super Bowl era part, but no,
yeah,
I think Dorsett got him 70s.
Yeah,
and
it probably
early
was
80s.
The Cowboys. You're probably right.
The the Bears were not very good.
Up until that 85
Bob year. Avellini and they were Jack Kincannon.
I think that 85 team gave him one of the worst losses ever, though.
44 Walter Payton outgained Dorsett in five regular season games, 651 rushing to 340, but the Cowboys went 3-2 in those matchups.
Ding, 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 ding.
Dallas also went 1-0 in their one playoff meeting.
Good job, boys.
37-7 in the 1977 division around with Dorsett rushing for 85 yards.
That was on the way to the Super Bowl, right, Chris?
Had to
Walter
be,
Payton, 60. Well, that was fun. We got a run. Live Williams Chicken here
job,
in Arlington.
Good
Cooper
job.
Just north of 20. Did the Olds get it done?
We got it done.
I think they beat us by one.
3-2. Way to compete, boys.
Yeah.
Chief, where are we going next? Football's finest. We've got a stat of the day for you.
Saving yourself for the segment?
Rogers regrets. Tua self-awareness. Everybody can go bleep themselves.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.